Apple just lost one of their most important lawsuits ever. This will cost them billions, yet it was against a very strange opponent. But somehow, that's just the start of their problems. Apple is struggling. Since December, their stock is down about 20%. That's almost $1 trillion in market cap. And to be honest, their stock hasn't moved all that much in the last 5 years itself. They're currently the weakest performer of the Magnificent Seven. What happened? Apple has historically been at the top of the New York Stock Exchange. Well, they're at war on every front, and it's not just the lawsuit that they're losing. It all began in August 2020 with one small update, and strangest of all, it was in Fortnite, which, if you're not familiar, is one of the biggest games in the world. Epic Games added a new payment option to Fortnite on iOS, a direct pay system outside the app with a 20% discount. Apple immediately removed Fortnite from the App Store, and Epic then sued Apple that very day. Why did Epic offer a discount, and why did Apple ban Fortnite, and why was Epic ready to take Apple to the court the very next day? As it turns out, this was all part of the plan. Let's take a step back. Apple takes a cut from all app purchases, be it paid apps or in-app purchases. For most, this is 30%, and 15% for developers making under $1 million a year. But these purchases had to be in the iOS app. No buttons or links could direct users to make purchases elsewhere, as Apple didn't want anyone to work around their 30% cut. This is why some subscriptions like Patreon were more expensive in iOS. They owned the App Store and they got a huge amount of all revenue just for running the store. No one was a huge fan of this, but it was just the way things were. That brings us to Epic Games and its founder, Tim Sweeney. Epic Games, despite being a $30 billion company, was the underdog. It was a David and Goliath situation against the $2 trillion Apple. But Epic wasn't a small player. Behind them are massive shareholders, Tencent, Walt Disney, and Sony. Why? Fortnite. The game needs no introduction. It makes billions of dollars from skins and crossovers of pretty much every popular IP and character ever made. DC Comics, Marvel, The Weeknd, Sabrina Carpenter, Star Wars, Halo, LeBron James, One Piece, etc. Epic was making billions from these crossovers. But then, there was Apple. From Fortnite on iOS, they were taking 30% of everything. Spider-Man skin, Apple takes 30%. Battle Pass, Apple takes 30% for just hosting the app on the store. Tim wasn't a fan. Even as far back as 2015, Epic's founder, Tim Sweeney, had been publicly criticizing Apple for this. He believed it was an illegal monopoly. So, Epic laid a trap. In 2019, Epic began pouring millions into lawyers and a PR firm. This was Project Liberty. They were preparing for war. Then Epic rolled out the update. Apple took the bait and removed Fortnite, and that very day, Epic filed a lawsuit. Apple's conduct has caused and continues to cause Epic financial harm. Epic is not bringing this case to recover these damages. Epic is not seeking any monetary damages. Instead, Epic seeks to end Apple's dominance over key technology markets, open up the space for progress and ingenuity, and ensure that Apple's mobile devices are open to the same competition as Apple's personal computers. Tim Sweeney wanted to take down Apple's monopoly, but things didn't play out as he hoped. On September 10th, 2021, the judge ruled in favor of Apple. They were not found to be a monopoly, but restricting external payments violated California's unfair competition law. Apple was ordered to allow out-of-app purchases and could not prevent apps from communicating to users about them. But Apple wasn't about to give up just yet. If you've ever thought about breaking into cybersecurity as a career, I'd recommend checking out the sponsor of today's video, TryHackMe. TryHackMe is a hands-on, browser-based cybersecurity training platform with over 5 million users worldwide. It's designed to actually make learning fun, more like solving puzzles or playing a game than sitting through lectures. There's no complicated setup or installation on your computer. You just log in and jump straight into Real World Labs from your browser. Personally, given how fast AI is evolving, I believe cybersecurity is only going to be more important in the coming years. Smarter AI means more vulnerabilities and more demand for people who actually know how to spot and stop real attacks. That's what I like about how TryHackMe approaches it. Instead of just throwing theory at you, the lab drops you into real attack scenarios where you're actively finding and fixing issues. If you want a hands-on way to break in, TryHackMe covers everything, from basic networking to advanced malware analysis, and people are actually using it to pass certifications and land jobs. Start learning for free, and if you want to go premium, use my code LOGIC for 25% off the annual plan. Link in the description. Thank you to TryHackMe for supporting our videos. After appeal, and dragging it through courts and being thrown out of the Supreme Court, 4 years later, Apple finally began to comply in 2024. But it was malicious compliance. Apple rolled out its new terms, and they weren't exactly good. Buttons and links to external purchases were allowed, but it came with a 27% commission fee or an Apple tax with a 3-6% processing fee. Essentially, developers could direct users elsewhere, but it was the exact same as buying in the App Store. Things immediately went back to court, and Epic Games argued that Apple was blatantly violating the court order. But somehow, the commission wasn't even the worst part. That was the scare screens. If you ever go to an external link, Apple would give you a message like, "You're about to go to an external website. Apple is not responsible for the privacy or security of purchase made on the web." So, what's wrong with this? Well, even if it's a perfectly safe platform like Netflix, Spotify, or Epic Games, Apple is implying danger made to make users second guess. There also seems to be double standards, since Apple doesn't seem to mind if you follow links in mail or other apps, only when you leave the App Store to spend money elsewhere. That's when they were suddenly worried about your security. Sounds more like a toxic parent than anything else, yet there's still more. Apple dictates all aspects of these links and doesn't allow them in the app's ordinary payment flow, and requires developers to open a generic web browser session, forcing the user to log into the developer's website again and search all over again for the digital item they wanted to buy. Essentially, Apple was making it as difficult as possible to do anything except stay on their platform so they get the most money. In response, Apple said it undertook extensive efforts to comply while preserving the fundamental features of Apple's business model and safeguarding consumers. Hardly sounds like fair competition. Instead, like an abuse of a monopoly, and the courts agreed. District Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers didn't hold back. 1. The court found that Apple's 30% commission allowed it to reap super competitive operating margins and was not tied to the value of its intellectual property, and thus was anti-competitive. Apple's response charged a 27% commission on off-app purchases where it had previously charged nothing. 2. The court had prohibited Apple from denying developers the ability to communicate with and direct consumers to other purchasing mechanisms. Apple's response imposed new barriers and requirements to increase friction and breakage rates with full-page scare screens, static URLs, and generic statements. But here's where it gets really good. Judge Rogers continued by saying, "To hide the truth, Vice President of Finance Alex Roman outright lied under oath." Internally, Philip Schiller had advocated that Apple comply with the injunction, but Tim Cook ignored Schiller and instead allowed Chief Financial Officer Luca Maestri and his finance team to convince him otherwise. Cook chose poorly. The court refers the matter to the Northern District of California to investigate whether criminal contempt proceedings are appropriate. This is an injunction, not a negotiation. There are no do-overs once a party willfully disregards a court order. Apple had lost and Epic had won. "The long national nightmare of the Apple tax is ended," said Sweeney. Within days, the App Store guidelines were updated and everyone quickly took notice. Spotify quickly rolled out payment options outside the iOS app. Patreon announced creators can receive payments directly. Stripe released info on how to let customers buy goods outside the app. And of course, Fortnite was allowed back on the App Store with their new payment options. Whether you like Apple or not, this is a big win for the consumer. I also don't think Tim Sweeney did all this just for consumers, as the lawsuit means Epic will make much, much more money over the long term. But still, in doing so, things are much better for everyone except Apple, who are now generating billions less. Yet, somehow, this is just the tip of the iceberg. They're actually beset on all fronts. This monumental historic court case might be the least of Apple's problems. Over the years, we've racked up 160 million views. Yet, somehow, we still haven't reached 1 million subscribers. That conversion rate is even worse than Apple losing this lawsuit. My dream is to reach 1 million subscribers by the end of this year, and if you subscribe right now, we can actually make that dream a reality. Apple is trying to hold on to every bit of revenue they can, because globally, they're in big, big trouble. Much of that relates to China. Cook in 2023 revealed that over 95% of Apple's products are still manufactured and assembled in China. Apple isn't just reliant on China, they're entirely dependent on them. The screens are produced by LG and Samsung, but assembled in China. Same thing with the processors, manufactured in Taiwan, but assembled in China, along with the cameras from Sony. Apple has over 1,600 factories in China. Over 5 million people are in some way employed by Apple and their manufacturing partner, Foxconn. And it's obvious why. In 2001, when Apple first began their exodus to China, the average annual wage was about 9,333 yuan a year, or about 1,127 US dollars. In America, it was about $30,800, or almost 30 times higher. Not only was it cheaper, but also faster, with much of the manufacturing and logistics sites right next to each other. China welcomed Apple with open arms. Gigantic factories were built, roads were paved, housing for workers were constructed, even airports were built.
I was around when they called up the local city and asked them to build another airport because we needed a larger airport to ship out more goods.
China made Apple rich and vice versa. But now the costs are catching up. The cost of labor in China has risen. In 2023, it was more than double what it was in 2013. Citizens have gotten richer, more educated, and more skilled, and the salaries in Foxconn and other factories have gradually gone up, and young people in China today aren't so interested in low-cost, repetitive factory work, and you can't really blame them.
They have breakfast, they go to work, they work a solid shift, they come back to their dormitory, they sleep. It's a very dehumanizing place, and the workers are little more than the machines there.
Also, Apple was once the biggest smartphone brand in China, but in 2024, they dropped all the way to third place and only have 15% market share after iPhone sales dropped over 18%, the largest drop they've seen in 8 years. Apple used to be seen as the most premium, high-quality products, but customers aren't buying it anymore. Local brands like Huawei and Vivo have caught up, offering high-quality phones for much cheaper. But that's not even the worst of it. With Trump in office, he began the trade war with China.
In particular, in the very near future, we're going to be placing tariffs on foreign production of computer chips, semiconductors, and pharmaceuticals to return production of these essential goods to the United States of America.
In February, he placed a 10% tariff on all imports from China, and the next month he raised it to 20%. This was followed by a back and forth between the US and China, which ended with tariffs of up to 145%. To make matters worse, last time Apple escaped these tariffs, but not this time. One Apple veteran said, "The supply chain all goes back to one guy, Tim Cook. This mess is his fault." This isn't just the buck stops at the top, it's that the buck stops with the guy who headed the supply chain, and Tim is the master of supply chain. And that's not even mentioning China's increasing scrutiny of foreign companies like the 2017 China Cybersecurity Law, which requires data generated in China to be stored within the country, or the 2021 Anti-Foreign Sanctions Law. If companies follow sanctions placed on them by the West, the Chinese government will punish them. and most of all, the company law in 2024, where foreign companies in China with over 300 employees must put a Chinese employee on the board of directors. So, what's Tim Cook doing now? How's he navigating this mess? Well, India. Cook has known about this problem for a while, but only now is it becoming a crisis. For a few years, he's been trying to make Apple less reliant on China, keyword being trying. India accounted for 14% of iPhone production in 2024. Impressive, but it shows how slow this is going to be, and it's likely going to be a lot longer than Cook hopes. Predictions indicate India's iPhone production volumes could match China's within 5 years. However, achieving comparable revenue contributions to Apple's global operations could take 10 to 15 years. Apple is trying to break up with China, but it's still going to take a long time to match the efficiency and lower costs. And all of that is not even mentioning stagnating iPhone upgrades and all the damage that's causing, or the recent botched launch of Apple Intelligence. Be it the lawsuit, the tariffs, rising costs in China, or the recent drama in WWDC 2025, Apple is in trouble, but it's hard to feel sorry for them. Most of these issues are somewhat self-imposed. They're only as severe as they are because Apple pushed their luck as far as they could, and now they're out of luck. But until then, I'm Hari, and I'll see you guys on the next one.